much talk about the levels of the hierarchy as it comes down through any organization. What we're talking about is not just a church, but we're talking about, you can see this in the governments that we have today. You can see this in the churches we have today. You can see this in the economy and banking system we have today. In other words, what we are talking about is a Babylonian system of the hierarchical structure. And that's why Satan can most effectively use these. Now, maybe this will help you understand why God is scattering the church to completely undo the hierarchical system so that hopefully he can lead his brethren and people and ministers into understanding the right and proper kind of organization. Now let's continue on to hierarchy. I want to read to you from the book My Catholic Faith, and let's read here, and then we'll look at the first level of hierarchy in the book The Toxic Faith System. The hierarchy. Who are the members of the hierarchy? The members of the hierarchy, or the ruling powers of the church, are the Pope, Supreme Pontiff, Cardinals, Patriarchs, Archbishops, Bishops, Prelates or Abbots, Apostolic Administrators, Vicars, Apostolic Perfects, and Ecclesiastical Superiors. The hierarchy is the orderly disposition of the ranks and orders of the clergy, with ordinary jurisdiction, the teaching of the church, the ruling body, an army of leaders under its head, the vicar of Christ, having care and control of the holy sacred things of the church. But what they don't want to tell you is they feel the whole world is theirs. Persons become members of the hierarchy in two different ways: by power of orders and power of jurisdictions. And let's understand something. A hierarchy system by nature is political. You have to have the pullers and the pushers. A hierarchy by nature must be run by politics, because if you are down here, in order to get up here into hierarchy, you must curry favor of the one above you, or you won't get there. And then when you get there, you must curry the favor of the one above you at that point, so you can get there and on up the line. Now, let's see how this works. Let's see how this works in the churches of God, or how it works in the addictive faith system. Here are the characteristics of the co-conspirator, who I call the sycophant, or the first level of enablers, or the addictee enabler. This person is addicted to the power. He is an addictee. He must feed off the power of the leader, and he's an enabler. So this is a whole thing combined. Characteristics of the sycophant: assumes the role of the ultimate team player, shows total dedication to the leadership and organization. Now, as I read all of these, this ought to set a lot of bells ringing off in your mind again. Always finds a way to support the position of the addictive leader. Feeds the leader's ego, pushing him higher and then pulling himself up. Pushing him higher and then pulling himself up. Is addicted to the power granted by the leader, using his name with great authority. Keeps things going within the system. Ensures that everything is taken care of responsibly, typically is a small person who feels big when in on the action. Witness Goebbels, the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler. Witness Loyola, Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Order of the Jesuits to uphold. He is the perfect epitome of the sycophant who upholds the power. And not only that, the sycophant then has a code of the cadaver obedience, which means that you are to your superiors as a dead body meant to be used in any way that the superior decides. If the superior says black is white, it is white. If he says white is black, it is black. You do anything, regardless of scruples, regardless of whether it disobeys the laws and commands of God, and furthermore, all of them have been programmed to behave that way. And when you rise in the hierarchy and become a chief sycophant, then you have also programmed your mind to do that. That's another problem we have with some of the other churches of God, because the sycophants get out there and try and start their own churches, and they don't know what to do. Just look around and see it. That's true of any organization. Now, continuing, ensures that, yes, willingly deceives to maintain the leader's power, because he's maintaining his. Willingly deceives. Have we been deceived by things coming out that we have read? Yes. The chief sycophant is always good at lying. Great spin control. All I ask you to do is watch your Sunday morning news programs and look at all of the sycophants there, especially Stephanopoulos, upholding Wilhelm Clinton. Spin control. Enjoys being rewarded for willingness to distort the truth in bonuses and new rank and higher positions. Ties personal feelings of value to another person rather than to God. Now that is the key. That is how the hierarchy continues. You look to the person instead of God. All hierarchy does is close off your relationship with God, and then it does its dirty work. Protect sense of self-image by protecting the leader, because if he goes, I go. Appears unassuming and grateful to be number two in the organization or on the board of yes men. Enjoys material things that high salary brings. Is sincerely deluded. Feels weak. Lacks the strong charisma and leadership ability of the leader. That's why he's a sycophant. Feels extremely inadequate. Works as a single unit with the leader. Your thoughts are my thoughts. Lives to be appreciated and recognized by the leader and just sits there in sermons waiting for his name to be dropped. Needs to feel safe in work and relationships. Is viewed by outsiders as trustworthy, conscientious, competent, mature, and reliable. Now, the role of the enabler. The role of the enabler varies from that of the co-conspirator, though the co-conspirator is an enabler. The co-conspirator is actively involved in delusion and connives to keep the persecutor or the addictive leader in power. The enabler is not as active in the deception. It is more of a passive role that allows rather than promotes. In other words, is victimized. So, this is the body of brethren, who are now no longer brethren, but are tithe payers. The only hope of for enablers is reality, and this is what's happening to the Church of God today. God is bringing you smack right in front of the true mirror of reality. They must face the reality that the system continues in large part due to the enabling support offered the system and the persecutor or the addictive leader. The enabler must come to grips with the reality that they are playing out an unhealthy role that has trapped them in a system that will eventually fail. Is it failing? Is it coming to an end? Is the Catholic Church going to fail? Are the governments of this world going to fail? Yes, every bit of it. Hope comes from ending the charade, so you must take off the scales of deception that have been covering your eyes. Quit playing the silly game of pray, pay, stay, and obey. And quit staying in your box. Connect with Christ and God the Father, and quit being the victim of men. Now here's the characteristics of the enabler. The enabler allows victimization rather than promotes it, sits there and passively takes it. Supports victimization in silence. After all, the leaders are right. Is dedicated to not rocking the boat because they may not get to a place of safety. Does not trust God enough to allow family turmoil or destruction of the ministry. Appears powerless, receives praise for sainthood and being able to survive under severe persecution. That is, you are intimidated and put in fear every Sabbath. Can be perceived by co-conspirators as an enemy or a threat to the co-conspirator's position if they get out of their box. Allows the leader to continue to live in denial. Covers up the harm done to the family and the organization, and eases the leader's pain by being always loyal. outwardly appears loving and supportive of the leader. At times is inwardly angry at living in an unfulfilled life, because you see, you are cutting off the Spirit of God when you do that. And you are not loving God. You don't know God. And there you are wondering what to do, and you're trapped in passive inactivity because of fear and intimidation. And if you do anything, sure enough, it's going to be your fault. Wrong. Not true. As the persecutor begins to lose credibility, the enabler will start to develop other skills, such as obtain a degree in counseling. Sound familiar to a lot of second and third level ministers? Yes, indeed. Knowing the system and the family may soon fall apart. Feels very little self-worth, becomes a caretaker of the leader, is addicted to the persecutor and the system. Has a primary goal of maintaining peace and the status quo. Has great difficulty thinking for oneself. Now, you ought not do anything important unless you counsel with a minister first. After all, the mind is deceitful above all things, and who is to know whether you can think properly or not? Check with the minister. Right? Another way of saying it is, when you come to church, check your brain at the door the first time you come and never pick it up again thereafter. Goes along with group consensus, acts to survive, feels extremely responsible. Yes, I must tithe and more and pay and more activities. I must be addicted. I have to go to this club. I've got to go to this activity. I don't have time to pray, God, but boy, these activities are wonderful. If the minister fails, blame yourself. Neglects personal needs for the sake of the ministry. And how many people have neglected taking care of their bodies, taking care of their teeth, taking care of their eyes, taking care of their children, taking care of their house? Never stops hoping that things will change. Somehow, God will work it out. And I remember looking in the eyes of an elder who told me that, and I said, you have the Spirit of God, and God expects you to exercise your responsibility. He finally got the point and did. Never stops fearing what will happen if things do change. Now, let's look at the characteristics of the victim. He is manipulated and exploited. They believe the spin control. They believe everything that is put out. They believe all the lies at the first level of the chief sycophant puts out. Makes tremendous sacrifice out of a combination of a desire to serve God and is intimidated through fear. Wants to feel a valuable part of something important. The work! And that's been the idol. Listen, brethren, I want to tell you something very clearly. If the work of God is not in you, and you are His workmanship, and you're developing the character of God, God is going to destroy every other work on the face of the earth. He's destroyed worldwide. He's destroyed CGI. He's going to destroy global. He's going to destroy United Church of God, because they are focusing on a work rather than God, and that is their idol. And God isn't going to bring any new people into such confusion and wretchedness when He's in the process of destroying it. And we've all got to return to God and change and repent and get back right with God. Then God can add new ones. We've got to get our brains unscrambled, and we have to get our lives straightened around, and we have to come to the love of God, the knowledge of God, the hope of God, and get rid of all of this stupidity that the hierarchy and men have foisted upon us with this toxic, addictive faith. Continue now. Looks for someone to make salvation easy. Well, if I stay here, I'm going to be saved. It's like not the Lusitania, but the Titanic that sunk. This won't sink. Never challenge God. It sunk. Often experiences loneliness. Actually believes money and effort will buy favor with God. Some people who tithe, give great money, and then they expect a blessing and they don't get it. Say, well, God, I did this. Yeah, but you weren't serving God. You were serving your idol of tithing. See? You'd never be blessed in that. Serve God, then tithe, then you'd be blessed. Willingly sacrifices time, money, and self for a cause considered to be of God. Is easily manipulated by the leaders and the co-conspirators and chief sycophants. Is spiritually molested and abused by the leaders and the sycophants. feels victimized when the truth about the toxic faith ministry or the addictive ministry is revealed. Wow, that couldn't be true. It is. Often abandons the spiritual journey upon discovery of abuse by an exploitative leader. Give up the faith. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Give up the faith. Is often threatened by the co-conspirators, leaders, and sycophants to keep the victimization a secret. Bears the pain of existing in a world of lies and deception, passively hoping that God will work it out. Sometimes leaves one toxic faith system or addictive faith system and moves into another. And we've seen that time and time again. Frequently is very emotional in the practice of faith, becomes isolated and lonely once disillusioned about the ministry or the family. Now then, there's a pecking order. Just like with a flock of chickens, there's a pecking order. Or just like with a pack of wolves, there's a pecking order. You must always cow down to the chief wolf. Addictive faith pecking order. The addictive faith system has its own pecking order and uses certain addictive rules for keeping that pecking order in place. The apostle, the evangelist, the pastors, the preaching elders, the local elders, the local elders, the deacons, the super deacons, the deaconesses. Even at one time they had armbands. Deacon, my, that was wonderful, see. That begins the pecking order. The religious persecutor is bound by the fear of giving up the power and prestige position, lest he or she has to face failure and insignificance. So they claim, I was born to this. The religious co-conspirator, or the chief sycophant, is bound to the system to have a purpose in life and to avoid the fear of letting the chief addictive leader down. The religious enabler is bound by the fear of ridicule and shame. Well, what will people say if I leave this church? After all, I told them it was the one and the only, didn't I? The victim of religious abuse is bound to follow and blindly believe. Well, if they say so, it's true. The outcast. Now, we'll talk about the outcast in a minute because that's us. The outcast is bound by the desire to let the truth be known and to be free from the addictive system. The roles, except for that of the outcast, are driven by fear of not belonging to the toxic faith system. The only thing more fearful than not belonging to the toxic or addictive family of faith is the fear of not belonging to anything at all. Isn't that so? Though astute in business and other affairs, naively practices a blind faith in following its leader, refuses to doubt questionable activities, instead rationalizes why exploitative things would be necessary for the ministry's survival. Key number one thing, always remember, you do not cause spiritual accomplishment by carnal physical means. Never. You do not enhance the truth by lying. Never. You do not support someone when they are not supportable. Never. That's how you stop the cycle. Refuses to doubt questionable activity. Yes. Instead, rationalize while I read that. Exploitative things would be necessary for the ministry's survival. The more money given to a ministry, the greater resolve to protect and defend it. Gives untold hours to develop the ministry and then sacrifices further in attempts to fix it. Sacrifices a wonderful family for the sake of an addictive leader. Often has a martyr complex. May be seduced into sexual relations to meet the special needs of the minister. Is reluctant to stop the victimization for fear of looking foolish. They're held captive by shame and intimidation. Often is involved with the addictive faith ministry out of a desire to look or be important. Willingly pays a high price for acceptance, even at the expense of personal morals. Now then, here we are. We're the outcast. And this is what we need to do. And I'll tell you one thing that is always true. If you are a true outcast by nature, you will never be political. never be. Here are the characteristics of the outcast. That's where we are right now. Is not addicted to the toxic faith syndrome. Does not possess a toxic faith to the leader or organization. Always pointing to Christ. Willingly stands alone. Stands up for what is right. Is willing to be rejected by others in the toxic faith system. Can discern right from wrong. Commits to leaders having integrity rather than those who are building on their egos. Refuses to be victimized by false teaching and lack of integrity. Speaks out for the truth. Usually loses a job within a toxic organization over concern for it. Suffers rejection by friends after challenging the leadership in those who exercise the addictive faith. Often is treated as a leper. Yes, they are disfellowshipped. Don't anyone ever talk to them. If you see them in the store, turn and go the other way. Is begged by others in the toxic faith system to support the persecutor. Oh, come back and support him. Why are you saying these things? He endures the shame for action, refuses to respect or be manipulated by those in the addictive faith system. Sees the truth and acts on it, even if it produces great personal pain, interprets reality for self, is motivated to protect people from spiritual fraud, is very dedicated to God and the people who seek to have a relationship with Him. And that, brethren, is reading the reason why we are where we are, and the very reason and principle why the Christian Biblical Church of God does what it does, and we do what we do, and I do what I do. Now, we need to understand that we can all come out from underneath this if we truly, really seek the things that God wants us to do. First, we have to admit that we have been addicted to this. Second, we have to admit that we admired pride and respecter of persons and political promotions and all of these things that went on in the name of Christ. Then we have to admit that we need to reestablish a relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Let's go to Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation 3. Now, I know I've covered a lot of ground with this, and I'm going to have these made up and print out, so when we send out the video or the audios, you will have the tapes. You will have the printout, so you will know. But this is so true. Everything that I read there, we have lived through, haven't we? Everything that I have read, we have seen, we have been visited upon, we have watched it happen. Now, the reason that it can happen is because we're living in an age that is just that way. We're living in an age where the whole world functions that way. The government operates by lies. The economy operates by lies. The religions operate by lie. Every one of them do, and it's going to build and build and build and build until you come to the great lie that's going to deceive the whole world. And if you don't love the truth, if you don't love the truth, you are going to believe a lie. And the truth is not compromised. And the truth may make you stand alone. And the truth is going to divide because Christ is scattering to see who loves the truth and who doesn't love the truth. So you need to be ready to face those things. You need to be ready to admit this. Revelation 3 and verse 15. Now everybody's beaten up on the Laodiceans. But this is not meant to beat up on the Laodiceans. This is meant to give a message to encourage them to repent and return to God. I know your works, that you are neither hot or cold. You've been entrapped in this political system and the hierarchy. You've been addicted to these things which are wrong. I would that you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. And the Greek means I am about to vomit you out. And that's what's been happening. The vomiting has been taking place. And it's going to continue and continue and continue until all of this is regurgitated out of the body of Christ. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and been blinded by all of these things that have come along. You have been addictive. You have been enabler. You have been a sycophant. You have been a co-conspirator, whatever your role has been. You have stayed in your box. You have passively accepted all of these things. God is calling you to repentance. God is calling you to get rid of your idolatry, get rid of your pride, get rid of these things, and return to Him with all your heart. That's what God wants. It has to come to an end, and let it be with every one of us. Let us all say, today, let it end with me today. Let it stop with me today. Let it no more be done today. Let me never be a sycophant today. Let me never be victimized again today. Let me never be an enabler again today. Let me never believe the lies again today. And then return to God. Instead of talking back to God and making every excuse, have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I counsel of you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. It isn't going to be easy. And when this whole satanic system comes upon the whole world, to try the whole world, if you think what you've gone through is tough, you better gird up the loins of your mind and the loins of your heart. And the loins of your spirit, because it's going to get a whole lot tougher. And if you can't endure what has been going on here and can't come out of this, may God help you down the road. Now He's doing this, that you may be rich, truly rich in Christ, with His grace, with His love, with His hope, to be there at the resurrection in white raiment, that you may be clothed and be there at the marriage of the Lamb. Be part of the bride, dressed in white and clean, that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see, because you have allowed all of this to deceive you. You have allowed all of this to take away your spiritual vision and reality, and you have settled for all of the putridness of this system. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's what's happening. God is going to rebuke and chasten and scatter and just absolutely keep this up until there is repentance, because He loves you. Because He wants you. That's why He called you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Right now, Christ is standing there knocking at the door of your mind. Will you take away the locks of deception? Will you take those things that have caused your mind to be a steel trap door sealed shut in the blindness of your own deception and victimization and syncophagism and following an addictive leader instead of following Christ in love and truth? Are you? You gonna open the door? He's knocking. If any man hear my voice, remember, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Will you hear? I will come into him and will sup with him, and he will with me. And to him that overcomes, and God calls you to overcome all of this, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome, and sit down in my Father's throne. Him that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And brethren, repent of all of this addictive false faith. Do not ever again apply it to a man. Do not ever again apply it to an organization. Do not ever again be there to pray and pay and stay and obey and be exploited, held down by intimidation and fear, and be blamed for everything under the sun, which is not true. You repent of that and come out from underneath it and return to God. And this is the fellowship that it needs to be. Let's go to 1 John, the first chapter. This is the only solution, brethren. You've got to come out and love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your being, and get rid of all of this nonsense and stupidity that Satan has foisted off upon the churches of God. 1 John, the first chapter. This is what is true. He says, let's just begin right here in verse 1, that which was from the beginning. And brethren, we need to go right back to that which came at the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eyes have looked upon and our hands have handled. They saw Christ. Yes, they had the truth emblazoned in their hearts and in their minds to write these things for us, that we can understand what God wants from us. And this is great, brethren. This is not attacking a person. This is not putting anyone down. This is calling you back to God. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. That's what God wants to give you. That's what your whole calling is all about. To give you eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And brethren, let that be what it needs to be. Repent and come back to God. Understand the circumstances that have been and have that true fellowship with God. And as Christ said, he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.